Well, we come to the close of the Christmas season today, and, rightly so, we conclude with this baptism of the Lord, this other manifestation of the Lord and his divinity, where the Father sends the Spirit upon him in visible form and declares that he is his beloved Son. The baptism, of course, was John was baptizing out there in the River Jordan. It says with the baptism of repentance, right? It was this way of rethinking and reordering your life, this repentance, so that you would be more properly ready for the coming of the Messiah. That was what John was doing. And so when Jesus finally comes, it says, after everybody has been baptized, here he comes, right? And so he's kind of beginning this public ministry in a sense. And after this, he goes out into the desert for 40 days and is tempted by the devil. And so he wins this victory against the devil. But he is, prior to that, he receives this baptism. Now, did Jesus need this baptism of repentance? No, he absolutely did not. He did not need to do that. He didn't have anything to repent of, right? He was the incarnate God, right? He cannot sin. But he comes there, and even John the Baptist protests, if you recall. He says, look, I should be baptized by you. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to baptize it. He says, let it be so for now, so that we may fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness, he receives baptism. And what happens there, the church father says, is that rather than being sanctified by the waters like we are through baptism, he sanctifies the waters for baptism. For the Christian baptism that would come later, he, receiving his baptism, makes the waters holy and proper for Christian baptism and initiating people into the church and into the mystical body of Jesus Christ. So, in our reading from Isaiah, we have this. Where are we here? Let's see here. This exhortation to Isaiah by God to give comfort to his people. At the time Isaiah is writing here, the people are in exile in Babylon, and yet that time is about to come to an end, and the Lord is saying, look, you have paid double for your sins, so I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you. And that is what the mystery of baptism is for us. It is this restoration of ourselves into righteousness with God. Now, what does that mean? What does that word mean, righteousness? If somebody is righteous or somebody is justified or made just, it is this declaration of pardon, in a sense, right? So that's why we believe that baptism is, when someone is baptized, they receive a forgiveness of all of their sins, right? Even if they're adults. For instance, the Emperor Constantine, because he was an emperor, and because emperors had to do all kinds of nasty things, generally speaking, he waited until his deathbed until he was baptized. Not a recommendation, by the way. Don't do that. As it turns out, I think he ended up getting baptized by an Arian who was a heretical sect of Christianity that didn't believe that Jesus was divine. So did he really get baptized? Who knows, right? So baptism, important. Don't put it off. But what it is also, we hear about this in the second reading, Paul's letter to Titus, and this really, really kind of digs into it very well here. The grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires. Okay, so saving all. No, that is not universal salvation. Everybody is saved, go home, be happy, everything is good. No. What does he say? He goes on to say, the grace of God has appeared, saving all, that is, the potential to be drawn out of the flames of perdition is extended to us. But, and that grace is available so that, what? We may be trained to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly. And if we don't do those things, then we are not responding to the grace of God. And therefore, then, we cannot be saved because we have chosen to remove ourselves from the fountain of grace, right? So it's not a guaranteed thing, but it is a thing. It is a real thing that everyone can embrace. Everyone can embrace it. But it's important for us to recognize what baptism is. It is a supernatural gift of God that we do not earn, that he wishes to bestow upon us, and then that baptism incorporates us into the body of Christ, grafts us onto the vine, if you will, if you want to use that imagery from the scriptures. And we can choose whether to stay on the vine or not. And many people choose to say, nope, I got a better idea. They cut themselves off the vine, and go figure, the vine dies. Right? And I'm not saying that people that leave the faith or leave the church, you know, they just immediately go out and, you know, fall down dead in the parking lot or something, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they will spiritually die outside of the church, period. They will spiritually die. I know that's not very popular to say or to hear, but that's what it is. And yet, because here's the deal. If it were just we human beings doing good things and evil things and, you know, good vying against evil and all that, well, you know, that would be a fairly, you know, things might average out to a relatively sort of okay situation. That's not the reality, because there are unseen realities that are far greater and deeper than what we see with our five senses, what we apprehend with our five senses. And what am I talking about? I'm of course talking about the unseen world of the spirit and the demonic powers. Those are real. They're not fairy tales. They're not, you know, boogeyman stories to tell little kids so that they'll be good. It's not the church telling all of us, her children, boogeyman stories so that we will be good and we will toe the line. They're realities. And left to our own devices, we are completely subject to them. Left to our own devices. They are far greater in power, intelligence, than we are. I don't care how smart you are. But they are nothing compared to God. And through baptism and through the grace that is offered to us in faith in Jesus and in the church and in the sacraments, we conquer, as St. Paul says, overwhelmingly through him who has loved us, through Jesus. So I know I've said this probably in a million ways, but when we stay close to Jesus, we cannot be harmed. When we follow in the path that he has trod, we cannot be harmed. We will encounter sorrow. We will encounter apparent setbacks. But as long as we, in faith, hope, and love, stay close to him, we cannot be harmed. But if, to kind of turn upside down what St. Paul is telling us about discipleship, if we embrace godless ways and worldly desires, purely worldly desires, and we don't live temperately or justly or devoutly, we do things our own way, say, thanks, Jesus, for the suggestion, but I'm pretty good. I'll talk to you when I need you. Then we're subjecting ourselves to the potential to be messed with by the principalities and powers that are arrayed against us, okay? That we're just simply stepping. There's that great image that Mother Angelica used once upon a time. She said the devil has already been chained. He's a ferocious dog, but he's already been chained. But if you go into the dog's pen, don't be surprised if you get bit. It's a great image, right? Stay outside of the pen. Stay outside of the realm of sin. Stay outside of the auspices of sin or environments that lead us to sin. You stay away from that stuff and cling close to God. The dog ain't got enough chain to get you. You get too close, though. You start playing with fire. You start stepping toward the stake that dog is chained to. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. So it's a very apt image. What are we offered through baptism? Well, we're offered the way to escape from the inevitability of the devil dragging us away from God. The inevitability of that, if we do not stay close to him. But we do, it is inevitable then that he will save us. He is already laboring to do so, and he has given us this beautiful free gift of his grace and his life and his love in baptism. Let's never take that for granted. Let's never take that for granted and realize that in being baptized, the Lord isn't just saying, you know, well, yeah, you can come into the club. He's saying, no, you are my son. You are my beloved daughter. He is claiming you in adoption the way Jesus is naturally his son. We are adopted through Jesus, and the Father chooses to look at us the way he looks at the Son, which is mind-blowing. Though we don't deserve it, we could never merit it, he has chosen us. And so let's always not take that for granted, always be thankful for that gift, and also always be aware of those two truths that I've been talking about through all of this. The devil wants to get you, and he absolutely can, except whenever we're close to Jesus. And then he absolutely can't.